Welcome back. My name is A.B. Ridgeway. I'm the host of Financial Advisors, say the darndest things in my mom's favorite Christian financial advisor. And today, brothers and sisters, we have some bad news. We are trying to figure out why more Americans are making hardship withdrawals from retirement. I mean, there has been some new laws that's passed that gives us access to our 401ks and some of our retirement accounts where we could take out $1,000 without much hassle, you know, penalties and taxes, things of that nature. There are some stipulations for that. So make sure you check with your financial advisor about that. But why are so many people using their 401k to fund their lifestyle? Is there a disconnect? Is there a problem? Well, we're going to try to figure that out of like why more Americans are taking money from their retirement to survive. Check this out.
For a growing number of Americans, retirement accounts are doing double duty: savings for the future when they're no longer working, and as a source for emergency funds for the here and now when they feel a cash crunch. In many ways, it's a reflection of the dueling forces in the U.S. economy. A strong stock market is growing retirement accounts, while stubborn inflation is keeping prices high for everything from groceries to gasoline. We asked viewers who've tapped into their retirement accounts to tell us why they did it.
My name is Hannah Empey. I am currently unemployed, and I live in Pennsylvania. The second that the meeting was over with HR and my former boss, I went to withdraw my entire 403b account. I was able to make that withdrawal and had the money in 3 days, and it was a lifesaver for me because it would take 3 months for my unemployment to get approved.
Wait. I'm not laughing at the situation, but did I hear what I thought I heard? She's saying that as soon as she left that HR department, after she got fired, she took her 403B, she wrote it into her account. So you can't see this. If you're on YouTube, you can see this. But this girl has to be no more than 23, 24, maybe. I'll give her maybe 25. But the problem here is she's under 59 and a half, regardless of what you think her age is. She's under 59 and a half. So she's going to have that tax penalty for the 403B. That's one. Now, she made this move and she said it was a lifesaver because she said it would take her 3 months to get unemployment. So you're telling me that you're not going to look for another job. You're going to live off your 403B or the money that you save for your retirement to help you get through these 3 months so you don't have to work. That's bizarre to me. If you left that office and you told me the first thing you did was go to apply for jobs, and then as your bills start to creep down or whatever it may be, you took a withdrawal from your 403B or rolled it over into an IRA and maybe just took what you need to get you through the week until you could find your job, that's a whole different mentality. This is the mentality, ladies and gentlemen, that are making a majority of Americans go broke and not have retirement. She said she's waiting for government assistance, one for unemployment, and then she makes the bad financial decision of rolling over her assets because she saw that lump sum. She saw how much money was in there. And she's like, oh, I can take this. I left my job. I'm going to take my 401k or my 403b. And everyone said that's what I should do. And I'm going to spend it. And I'm going to live like everything's okay, like I don't have a job. Instead of going through the stressful situation of not having a job, applying, going through interviews and potentially getting hired, she could maybe get hired within a week or two. Maybe she can get a lower paying job just to have some income into the house. And then when she gets established, she can go find her dream job or whatever that she's looking for. But no, this is why we are in so much trouble, ladies and gentlemen. And it starts here. She's in her 20s. She has many years to make this mistake. But if she keeps this mentality and says, I've been doing it for 10, 20 years, I'm just going to keep doing it, and no one corrects her, it's just going to be a problem. We're going to see more stories like this. But let's go to the next story.
I'm Jim Citrick. I've lived in Maine, where I am now, for about almost 3 years. 8 months ago, I began suffering from some medical difficulties, some situations that led me to start missing more work than I would like, and ended up with me being hospitalized for several weeks. As a consequence of having no income and needing to continue with our health insurance that I needed to then pay for out of pocket, I had to dip into the savings I had in my thrift savings plan.
This story is similar, but not so different than the prior story. This man had to dip into his you know, retirement account because he has some medical issues. And we do consider medical issues as a justifiable reason to reach into your retirement because your health is your wealth. You don't want to have $1 million in a bank and just be sick in bed just to say that you have $1 million. So don't confuse that at all. Whatever money you need in order to pay for your health, you need to do that. But ladies and gentlemen, though, the caveat to that is before you are sick, before you get into these situations where you may be in the hospital for a month, you think this can never happen to me. It can happen to you. And the probability increases with age. And guess what? We're getting older every day. So every day, the probability of you being in the hospital or something happening to you that you're going to have to pay for increases per day. So what do? We do things like get long-term care insurance, or we put additional money to the side for medical emergencies. How many times, when was the last time that you included medical emergency for your savings? We lump it all together and say, oh, this is 401k, that's for my retirement. But let's get a little more granular and say, this money is for if I get sick. I mean, there are some policies where you can pay a lump sum premium and you can get some coverage up to, you know, 3, 4, 5 years or double, triple or quadruple the amount that you put in order to cover yourself. It's just like any other insurance. Like when you cover your house, you pay a smaller amount, a smaller premium in hopes that if something should happen, that you get more money in the future. If you don't need it, perfect. You just don't need it. But it's better to have it and not need it than to need it and not have it.
That made me Stivers. I live in Colorado. In 36 months, I had to, let's see, a nice word they like to use is pivot. I had to pivot my plans and go from retiring early, modestly, just trying to be well for the rest of my life, to I have to spend everything for the new housing price. The price of these homes, a 20% deposit, is six figures. Cash you got to come up with. So that was a lot of savings I had in my 401k. Boom. I cashed it out in order to get into the house.
Ma'am. I'm sorry. maybe I'm just in a weird mood today. I think I've done a lot of videos recently, a lot of serious ones as far as scams are concerned, and people who have $700,000 and they lose it over one phone call. I did a video just last week or so about a romance scam where a lady wired $100,000 to her lover because she was a widow in 2020. She was 84 years old looking for love. So she wired $100,000. She lost it. But ma'am, we're going over hardships Americans are forced to take out of their retirement, that there's an increase of taking out. This, we did a video with Jade Warshaw or about Jade Warshaw on the Christian Broadcasting Network just prior to this. And she talked about money is not a math problem. It's a behavior problem. This is a behavior problem. You're telling me, one, you retire, quote unquote, early. So you still have the potential to work if you really wanted to. Two, you bought a home that you knew was expensive. You said six figures. If you're talking about a 20% down payment, then you're at least talking about a $500,000 home because it's 10% would be $50,000 and then 20% would be $100,000. That's when you talk about six figures. So it has to be $500,000 or more because when you talk about down payments. Now, she could be a veteran. It could be 1% or whatever the percentage is. It's a very low percentage for those who were in the military. Or maybe, you know, she's only putting down 10% of earnest money or something like that. But that's even worse because if it's 10% earnest money at six figures, you're looking at $100,000 right there. So that means you have at least $1 million home. So I'm sorry, this story doesn't, to me, in the numbers, I don't feel sorry for this story at all. You wanted a bigger house. You said live modestly, but you're talking about a six-figure deposit for a home that you wanted in a specific area, I'm assuming. So you're not really trying to survive or live modestly. You're trying to get what you want and disguise it as such. So you see how these numbers, how a financial advisor will look at it. It's like, you could tell me anything that you want to, but your numbers are not, the story doesn't add up. You can't say you're living modestly and then talking about a six-figure down payment for a home and then put yourself in a mortgage where you're going to have to pay for the next 30 years. And you said you already had to drain a lot of your 401k in order to put a down payment down. What are you going to do about the mortgage? too many questions for this one. I don't know if you just want to be on TV or not. I need, maybe need to hear more. I don't want to make too many judgments with limited amount of information, but just from what I heard, I don't like it. I don't know if y'all feel the same way or if you can see through it, but I don't like this one. Not the person. I don't like the situation. Let's keep going.
You know, times are hard right now, so I don't feel any shame in what I had to do to make ends meet.
I really did consider what alternatives there would be to taking money out of my thrift savings plan. And the only one that I was not either embarrassed about or unwilling to do was take out money that I had saved myself.
The NASDAQ is for later, but it's like, oh no, we're using it now in our mid-50s instead of in our 70s.
I was raised by my grandparents, and I've seen what retirement looks like when there isn't a fallback plan, when it's just Social Security.
I most likely will not be able to retire, period. That I will continue to work until I'm no longer physically capable of doing so.
The investment firm Vanguard Group says last year there were early withdrawals from a record 3.6% of the 5 million retirement accounts it administers. That's up from 2.8% in 2022 and above the pre-pandemic average of about 2%.
Ladies and gentlemen, there doesn't have to be shame around pulling from your 401k. But the first person, you may have to recognize her voice if you're listening on the podcast, but she said that I didn't have any shame taking my money out of my retirement. Nobody said you should feel shame. You shouldn't feel bad about having to take it out, but you have to be realistic on why you're taking it out. So this mentality of the, I don't care, I'll just take it out. I don't care. Well, you should care, especially if you grew up in a household where your parents only lived off of Social Security. There should be some, I don't want this to happen to me, unless there's just some complacency there. Like, I'm fine. My parents did, and my grandparents did that for that matter, and they lived off Social Security. I would think that you would try to avoid that, but you're not making the financial decisions to do so. But once again, maybe that was her only model for money. She never reached out to figure out how money actually works or how much money she's actually losing. Maybe if she knew how much money she was losing or potentially losing, then she would change her mind. I really think that she should have got my ebook, The Four Pillars to Christian Investing, that goes over debt management, savings, investing, and wealth transfers. In that investing portion, she would have understood that if you're under 59 and a half, it's even worse. Now, the other two, as far as the man and his medical bills, I feel very sorry for him that he has to work until he's, you know, no longer with us. That is sad that you're spending your last years that you should be relaxing, working. And the third person who just, once again, didn't care, I'd rather do it in my 50s than in my 70s. They have come up with these excuses in their mind. Think about it this way. The first person and the last person, I think they're the same person. They're just, you know, their mentality, you know, her not caring about her 401k and this lady putting a down payment on her house, they are the same mindset. They're just different ages. So this little girl's going to grow up into that woman if she doesn't change. And hopefully she turns into that man who understands, like, even though this is something I have to do, this is not, I don't want you to follow in my footsteps. This is not something you should be doing. Okay, let's keep going here.
Robin Farzad is host of the public radio podcast, Full Disclosure. Robin, what's going on here? Is this unusual, this amount of early withdrawals?
Isn't it so unusual in that we have such low unemployment, again, touched near something, a 50-year low. You have housing prices at a record high. You have a stock market, like you mentioned, near a record high. And yet, capital I inflation really walloped us coming out of the pandemic. And you've seen your purchasing power and your cost of living, all of this calamitous stuff happen while the nightly news is telling you that the economy is great. So you want to tap what's working, but you're not necessarily thinking about your reality when you're 75 or increasingly 80 years old.
But when people look at their 401k statements with the stock market rising, are they thinking, well, geez, I can take some money out. It won't hurt.
It won't hurt. But then again, you think about how $1,000 compounds over a lifetime. If you're one of these people who are fortunate and prescient enough to do it in your 20s, you're talking potentially millions and millions of dollars at retirement. It's very hard to instruct a 20-year-old or even a 30-year-old or a 50-year-old that, look, you can't just depend on Social Security. You can't just depend on Medicare. That's a very hard discipline to teach people who are instructed to deal with the here and now.
That is the key. Hoo-wee. I'm glad he said that. people who are trained to focus on the here and now. They are not thinking about the future. I use this example all the time. It's like the grasshopper and the ant. The grasshoppers focus on the here and now. Summertime, play, have fun, fund this lifestyle. Don't think about the future. And the ant is, hey, how can I enjoy summer, work, get my stuff in order so in the wintertime I can relax, I can feed myself, and not only myself, but some people who didn't have that same mentality, be a service to this world, not to be a liability. I want to make sure that we're giving to the world, not that we're just taking from the world. I love what he said too as well, the compound growth. They're leaving millions and millions of potential money on the table just because they don't want to save. This is a great video. If you're tuned in at this point, lock in. This guy has some really good things to say, and I'm really happy he is saying it here.
Nobody lives in the long term. It's easy for economists and people to be in the theoretical in the long term, but it also breaks my heart to see a 20 or 30 something have to raid a nest egg.
Amen.
What other consequences are there of tapping into a retirement fund this way in terms of taxes and other things?
Yeah, you do have at the discretion of Uncle Sam, you could apply for a hardship withdrawal where you don't have the penalty. You still have to pay taxes on the appreciation. But again, $1,000 put in a retirement account, if you're looking at it like, wow, I have $10,000, that's found money that I didn't even realize I had, that could tide me over for several months. Well, $10,000 could well, at long-term market rates, be hundreds of thousands of dollars or millions of dollars. So how many people are having that dialogue with their God-willing retired selves? And that's what keeps me up at night.
So we heard in that tape, we heard people saying that they took money out because they had lost jobs, they had medical emergencies. For people who are in those positions, find themselves in those situations, what should they be thinking about as they consider how to raise the cash they need?
Are you willing to downshift your life? Are you willing to maybe hold off on buying? The American dream has been deferred. You know, 50-some-odd-year-old woman you interviewed saying that we wanted that house. We definitely wanted that house. They're out there using appreciated stock market assets to buy really appreciated housing assets. Who's to say that that housing market's not going to fall in a few years and they'll have buyer's remorse, or they'll need that equity value if there's an injury or an illness into their 60s or 70s. But I think for many, and this sounds cliche, that is part of the American dream. And if that's broken, they're thinking, if not now, then when?
Whew, man. I don't know if I need to reach out to this guy. I don't know if we need to. I don't know. We need to do something together. I love what he's talking about. But I do want to say something that kind of, it gets under my skin a little bit. You know, we don't always agree. Financial professionals don't always agree on things here. But this term of downshifting, I always like to clarify what that means by downshifting your lifestyle. People cringe at that idea. As I said before, we had a video, I think about last week or so. We listened to Jade Warshaw. She's from the Dave Ramsey Show. She's a host. She's an author. She just wrote a book and all this other good stuff. And she was talking about how budgets have this negative stigma. Like, oh, well, if you have a budget, then, you know, you're poor and, you know, you can't manage money. But I talk about how financial advisors actually create financial plans for everyone. So, you know, that is a type of budget, and rich people don't really know about it, but, you know, that's how we make financial decisions. Now, this downshift, you're not downsizing or downshifting your lifestyle to something below what you're supposed to be. You're actually making your lifestyle what it is supposed to be. Unfortunately, we inflate our lifestyles far above what we can do. That's why Americans are $1 trillion in debt, because we're living lives above what we're supposed to have. And we live here so long in this illusion, we think this is life, but it's not true. And financial advisors come around and say, just because you make $100,000 doesn't mean you live a $100,000 lifestyle, right? Because even with taxes, you're down to already $80,000, $75,000. Now you're talking about other insurances. So, you know, bills and mortgages. So now you're down to, I don't know, $50,000, $40,000. You have to live off that $40,000 per year or whatever it may be to sustain your lifestyle or to sustain your life. You know, food, water, shelter, clothing, you know, your essentials, and maybe even some traveling or whatever it may be. So this downshifting is not, hey, you need to live below your means and, oh, you have the potential to be great, but you need to live. No, live the lifestyle you're supposed to do. My dad always told me, if you spend less than you make, you'll always have money.
What are the alternatives to tapping into a retirement account? And where should tapping into the retirement account rank in those alternatives?
I would put it as a last case thing. no one wants to bring up avocado toast or your car or the number of Ubers you take. But again, this is structured 401ks and 403bs, so it's an absolute last resort. It's also why we haven't seen the privatization of Social Security. If everybody was just free to raid a private Social Security account, can you imagine how many people would be in arrears later in life? So that's very hard, again, to say cut back, right-size your standard of living, take on temp jobs, gig. It's like me saying, stay in school, drink your milk. It sounds very paternalistic, but the numbers, again, bear out that you want to hold on, that you want to have this prescience, this ability to look into the future and take care of yourself, where we know that the social safety net has failed so many people in retirement, in their elderly years.
Ooh. I think, listen, either he could be the co-host, or if I ever decide not to do the city board, I know exactly who's going to take over. So he says, listen, you cannot depend on Social Security. You cannot depend on Medicare to support your lifestyle. If you can't even really depend on yourself to support your current lifestyle, why is the government going to do it to you in later years? The system has failed millions and millions of people because we're under this illusion that Social Security is going to save us. I have a video, I don't know if I'll put it up here somewhere or around there, about Social Security not being your golden parachute, not to rely on Social Security. Even on their own website, they say find other ways to pay for your monthly expenses. You can go to ssa.gov right now and you can look up Social Security benefits, and they will tell you in the disclosure or on their page at the top that said, you know what, let me show you. Hold on 1 second. I'm not just making this stuff up here. I'm going to go to ssa.gov. Let me see here. I want you to be able to read this. It says Social Security and Retirement. The Social Security Retirement Benefit is a monthly check that replaces part of your income when you reduce your hours or stop working altogether. It may not replace all of your income, so it's best to identify other ways to pay for your monthly expenses as you age. I'm going to say that again. It's best to identify other ways to pay for your monthly expenses as you age. That is coming from the Social Security Administration themselves on the website. You can go yourself. You can see it. All you need to do is go here. Let me show you here. You go to ssa.gov, you click retirement, it's the first thing that pops up. It's the first thing they want you to know about Social Security and retirement. Let's wrap up the end of this video and see if there's any more gems we can kind of squeeze out of this video.
You heard some of those people in the tape talk about they lost their job. They had a medical problem that kept them off the job. They weren't buying fancy homes. They needed cash. What would you say to them?
What is your cash runway? I mean, were you in a structure that you were saving enough cash for an emergency? We know the numbers with Americans who don't even have $1,000 in the checking account or the savings account for a medical emergency. So you are day to day. You are paycheck to paycheck. There are alternatives for you to maybe ahead of this to consider if you can right size your cost of living, your expenses of living, how much money you're saving. I mean, you're actually making something on your savings right now, where in the past it would have just been inflated away. But so many Americans look at saving money as a luxury for other people, when in reality, saving and investing, they have to be fundamental pillars of personal finance.
They are pillars, and you can get my 4 pillars to Christian investing. It goes over debt management, savings, investing, and wealth transfers. I love what he said. He actually corrected himself later on. I actually feel a little stupid. I should have just waited a little bit longer, because he said right shift. So he's like, shift down your life to where it is supposed to be. And that's what basically what he was saying. It's like, we've created this huge life and thinking this is how life should be, but we need to downsize and right shift it into the life it is supposed to be. I don't want to make this video any longer. I really appreciate you sticking with me this long. Once again, please check out some of our other videos. If you love videos like this, we do have shorter videos. This is one of our longer videos, so don't think they're all 30 minutes. Most of the time, they're 6, 7, 8 minutes, something really quick. Make sure that you get your financial 5, your financial advisor, your accountant, your attorney, your power of attorney, and your executor. And hopefully you choose me as your financial advisor. If you want to connect with me, the links are going to be in the description or also on my profile. Also, check out another video. Subscribe, like, comment, and just watch something else. You know, don't let this be the only video that you watch. because this is not everything you need to know. We have over 900 videos. Click something that you enjoy, come back, use this as a reference, because we're always producing new videos for you to help you retire rich and righteous and teach you the things they did not teach you in school. Well, that is it for me. My name is AB Ridgway, and I'll see you on the other side of your blessing.